This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Packer and Durham, it's hour number two. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Of course, we're streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371. Tom Luganville will join us in about a half an hour, but right now we are joined by Jay Billis. Jay, how are you?
Great, guys. How are you?
We're good. We'll start off with name, image, and likeness. And with everything that's going on in the world, it's almost like this feels like a back burner issue. But I think with the comments recently from Bubba Cunningham and then Kevin White this week, it's kind of resurfaced that, hey, there is a ton of work to be done here.
Yeah, the NCAA certainly isn't treating it as a back burner issue because they're lobbying Congress for an antitrust exemption, which essentially would mean that if Congress were to provide that and essentially pass a law saying the NCAA could continue with its amateurism rules, it would be giving what I would call a serial antitrust violator the keys to the hen house. And I would be shocked if that happened, but that's what the NCAA is trying for. Mm. And they're also trying to get some sort of legislation where they can have what they would call a level playing field, but it would sort of give a standard so that you don't have all these different states passing laws that they think are different, even though there are different tax laws, different transportation laws, different employment laws in every state. The NCAA is taking the position that you can't have fair competition unless there's complete uniformity in this one area, that being how the athlete is treated.
Hey, Jay, I'm curious here. Are we looking at a scenario where the NCAA, because Dr. Emmert had to go to Washington and sit in front of a subcommittee, that now all of a sudden the NCAA's hands being forced, so they, type out a bunch of guidelines and hand it off to the membership and go, here's what we're thinking, and you guys need to handle it? Or is there a little bit more depth to this?
Well, there's a little bit more depth to it. So the NCAA, California really pushed this. In all the different court cases we've had over name, image, and likeness type issues, over player compensation issues, the O'Bannon case, the Jenkins case, the NCAA has said under oath that amateurism is a bedrock principle. If the players are allowed to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness rights, they are professionals, they are akin to being employees, they are just shills for products, things like that. So that was their position under oath. Then California went to try to pass their law, and the NCAA, Mark Emmert specifically, basically threatened the state of California and said, hey, if you do this, you're only going to be hurting your own athletes because they won't be eligible, your teams won't be eligible for championships. And the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and then Senator Nancy Skinner basically said, nobody threatens us. And they passed their name, image, and likeness bill 72-0 in today's political climate. Mm-hmm. Florida's doing the same thing. You got all these states that are pushing these laws or passing these laws. So the NCAA started a committee that was chaired by Gene Smith of Ohio State and Val Ackerman of the Big East. And they put forward recommendations on name, image, and likeness, and the Board of Governors approved them, and now it's out for comment for the membership. And that's where these comments from Kevin White from Duke and Bubba Cunningham of North Carolina really are emanating from, is everybody's trying to stop this because everybody knows what's going to happen. If name, image, and likeness rights are granted to any degree to the players, then they're pros. According to the NCAA's own rhetoric, then they'd be pros. And if they're pros in any regard, then there's no justification for limiting them as pros. And it's kind of like, if you guys have seen the movie Pleasantville, it's kind of like the NCAA all these years has said the athletes are in black and white. If they're allowed anything that puts them in color, they're in color. It's a bright line rule. And that's sort of what it is, that we're headed toward the players being on color television and the NCAA saying, nope, it's black and white back in the 1950s. And that's what they're arguing about. It is a bright line that they're about to cross. And Kevin White, Bubba Cunningham, who are great guys, and I love them, but they're basically picking things, saying, well, this would be a problem, that would be a problem. But they're not saying, well, amateurism is our bedrock principle. So there's no principle. It's just sort of, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. What about fairness? What about this? What about that? And it's really kind of, it's not a winning argument, I don't think.
Jay, what is your biggest concern?
All right.
If I put you in a position of being an athletic director at any school, Power 5 school, what would be your biggest concern moving forward as we sit here on June the 11th?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to keep the status quo, the biggest concern would be there are forces in play now that you really can't stop. That and, you know, you don't mean to get all historical on this, but if you look back, Pac and West, like, you know, this didn't just happen. Like, the NCAA and all these sports, football and basketball, didn't just become multi-billion dollar businesses overnight. This was thought out and planned, and they made decisions along the way to build it into this. But they kept the athletes in the same position. And now, look, people can say, I like it this way. I don't think it's fair. But there's no way that now with all of these states passing laws, there's no way it's going to stay the same. And so players are going to get economic rights from this. Now, whether they get them, whether Congress provides the antitrust exemption that the NCAA is spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get lobbying, or if it's given, you know, state by state, it's happening. So the easiest thing for the NCAA to do would be pass rules that say they have full economic rights just like everyone else. And it would be a simple solution to this, because you're not going to be able to police this. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that you could allow a player to sign some sort of endorsement deal, and then you're going to have a committee look at it to see whether it's a fair market deal, and you're going to be passing on that all the time. That's great. Like, who's looking at Coach K's deals or Dabo Sweeney's deals, mm-hmm. or the deal that a school is getting with Nike or Adidas? To say, hey, is this market? Do you really think UCLA is worth $187 million from Under Armour? Is that market? None of that makes any sense, and it's not workable.
All right, I want to. My concern is here: we got a bunch of people that want to run 1,000 miles an hour on the superhighway before the road gets paved, if you know what I mean. So I want to run to the end of the street a little bit on this. When Bubba Cunningham and Kevin White make the comments they made within the last week or so, and Bubba was actually on with Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman about a month ago and mentioned a group license that would include revenues from apparel and the video game and a chance for student athletes to opt in when they sign their LOI. I mean, the whole nine yards. And I thought it was very insightful from him. In some ways, Jay, is all of this leading up to separation of Power 5 from the NCAA in a way?
It could be. I mean, I think that's the best business decision for the Power 5 and some other schools to make. The thing, as you guys know better than I do, that's really limiting that is, one, the presidents don't want to be seen as greedy and telling their fellow presidents at smaller, you know, lower revenue schools that you guys are off on a lifeboat on your own. We're taking off and we're taking all our money with us. But essentially, that's what they did with football years and years ago. So they don't want to do that. They don't want to be seen that way. The other part of it is the NCAA tournament. A lot of people see that as the goose that laid the golden egg, and people are making these pronouncements that somehow, you know, without Cinderella, the tournament is worthless, which I think is nonsense. If the Power Five broke away and started their own tournament, they could invite whomever else they wanted. So you could invite other schools into it and still have that element without sort of having to share all this revenue that you're generating. And that's really the issue. Will the Power Five take all the revenue? As you guys remember, you know, when we were all kids, the AAU was the most powerful athletic organization on the planet. And now it runs basketball tournaments during the summer. And when we were little kids, the NIT was the more prestigious and powerful tournament than the NCAA tournament. And that changed when the NCAA passed a rule, said if you get invited to the NCAA tournament, you have to take
it. Hey, it's Wes Durham again on ACC Network.
You guys
Jay,
still there?
Yeah, Jay, we got you. I just want to follow. I, I just want to follow up with you, Jay, on something else. We're sitting there talking about the pandemic, obviously, and its impact on college athletics and whether we're going to have a college football season. How do you see us looking forward to a college basketball season, given what we know about the health situation right now in June?
Yeah, it's a little bit scary, Pac, the idea that basketball could be compromised. I mean, we're going to play football. I mean, football is going to be played. But what I've been hearing from different schools is that they're going to try to start school early, so bring their students back in August. No fall break, and they're going to try to close things down for the first semester. I don't know what the quarter system looks like, but the first semester would be over in November. And there's contingency planning for not having students on campus the second semester because of a potential second wave of this, along with sort of your quote-unquote normal flu season. So that could compromise basketball. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you guys see the data that I see. I mean, even now you're seeing with phase one reopening in different states, we're seeing, coronavirus cases spike. And without the requisite contact tracing and things that you need to deal with that. So who knows what's going to happen? I'm certainly not Dr. Fauci, but it is concerning. And the truth is none of us know what's going to happen. Basketball, I think has more questions because it's an indoor sport. I mean, fewer players and everything, but it's indoors. So the idea that we're going to have fans in a super spreading type event, I can't imagine. But we'll learn a lot from the NBA this summer, and we'll learn a lot from how college football goes about things. But I don't see anything but a bumpy ride. I just hope we get to the end of the ride.
Hey, it's interesting because I've heard a lot of different things here in the last couple of weeks about basketball and the way it fits with the NBA now moving the 2021 schedule to Christmas and things like that. Some of the staples of the college basketball season could be in the balance here. If it doesn't go consistently well, I guess would be the right term to use during the fall, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know the answers to any of that stuff either. Like I was on an Alabama thing the other day, and they were asking about you're looking forward to seeing the Tide play in Maui, and I hadn't even thought about it. Going, I don't even know if there's going to be a Maui. I hope so, but everything seems up in the air, and we're going to have to learn a lot more before we have any answers. And I think it kind of goes back to what Dr. Anthony Fauci said. The timetables, the virus sets the timetable, not us. But the fact that things are opening up is encouraging, but it opens up some more questions, too, that have to be answered. And I certainly wouldn't want to be a college president right now, because there's certainly a lot going on that's going to be hard to wrap your arms around.
Appreciate the time, my man. Always good to catch up.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you.
All right. Jay Billis, ESPN, and, of course, with us here on Packer and Durham. Interesting stuff about how basketball fits in this pack. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about football, but basketball is going to be an interesting part, too, I think, when we get to that portion of the year.
And Jay's right. Nobody has the answers. We're just kind of hoping we're going to have a 12-game regular season football season. And who knows what that's going to look like with fans, assuming we can get to kickoff. But the concerns about basketball are legit. But, again, it's still June 11th. I keep emphasizing from a time standpoint, we still have time to figure out some answers here. And, again, with the best medical people in the world all trying to figure this thing out, I do think we're making progress. I'm encouraged about the football. But basketball just seems like a million years from now, doesn't it? Just feels that way.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, sit tight when we come back. We know Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell, by the way, are 1-2 when you think about ACC quarterbacks. Trevor will be with us on the show tomorrow, by the way. But after Trevor Lawrence and after Sam Howell, how would you stack up the ACC's quarterbacks? We'll talk about that when Packer and Durham continues in a moment.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham from the studio. And from the basement, and for wherever Wes is doing down there in Cartersville, Georgia, with all the technical stuff. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Tom Luganville will join us. But, Wes, you went to break, teasing America about the quarterbacks in this league. And I will tell you, even though a couple have transferred, the league from a top-to-bottom standpoint, it's a pretty solid group of quarterbacks in the ACC coming back for 2020.
Well, I don't know if you're willing to take it and put it back on that level that it was at, what, a few years ago when Deshaun Watson was the headliner, right, in this league. But that was a really good league. That was a really good year for quarterbacks in the ACC. And the way you look, Pac, I mean, no doubt Trevor's going to be in the Heisman consideration. Sam Howell got a lot of things done as a freshman in the ACC as well. And then you start behind that. And don't forget, 2 years ago at Houston, De'Aaron King was responsible for 50 touchdowns. I mean, there's a lot to glean out of that position. And you mentioned this earlier, and I think a guy like Chase Bryce is going to be an interesting guy to follow as he transfers for his grad season at Duke as well.
And I'm not going to necessarily waste a whole lot of time with who's not here, with Anthony Brown transferring from BC and Jamie Newman from Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, had you kept those guys in place, I would make the case that from a quarterback standpoint versus other conferences around the country, this league's going to stack up with everybody, not only with greatness at the top, but also quality depth all the way throughout. And granted, there's still some question marks around. You think about guys like James Blackman down there at Florida State after we talked to Marvin Wilson this week, and assuming Marvin doesn't put a hurting on him at practice along those lines. But when you go through the quality depth of the league, man, there's really good quarterbacks all over the place. And like I said, that's even without Jamie Newman, who's gone to Georgia, and Anthony Brown that's moved on. But at the very top in this league, there is no doubt it's a 1-2 punch. And Trevor Lawrence, who will join us tomorrow, is going to lead the way on that front. And obviously, Sam Howell's done a tremendous job at North Carolina as a freshman, and the expectations are high given what everybody coming back in terms of wide receivers and along all those lines. So needless to say, I think, again, when you take inventory of ACC quarterbacks, this is going to be a tremendous year for the league. And, again, Trevor Lawrence will join us tomorrow. We'll talk some football with him. But, man, the league is in really, really good shape. And, Wes, yeah, I know that you got some technical issues down in Georgia. But with Mr. King making that transfer from Houston to Miami, the Canes, let's be honest, we've talked about Miami for the last couple years, offensive line issues, and can you get some stability at quarterback? Well, it appears that Mr. King is going to be the answer for Manny Diaz and the Hurricanes this upcoming season. And we've seen a bunch of interviews with him already during the offseason. I've even seen some Heisman odds out that a lot of folks have kind of jumped on. De'Aaron King is one of the guys that, you know what, he's going to be a factor. So, again, the league should be in great, great shape. David Cutcliffe at Duke is certainly one guy that we always talk about as far as a quarterback whisper. He's always had the great reputation, whether he was the assistant Tennessee, head coach at Ole Miss, and obviously what he's done at Duke. And all of a sudden you get a guy like Chase Bryce, and Clemson fans certainly know about him. We just talked to Dino Babers last hour. He knows all about Chase Bryce. Chase Bryce is a baller. The only reason he didn't get more playing time is because of a guy by the name of Trevor Lawrence. And you put Chase Bryce in a system with David Cutcliffe as a great quarterback coach, I think that's a guy that can absolutely emerge big time, not only in this league, but even from a national perspective and all that. So there's all kinds of storylines from the league standpoint with that. But needless to say, the two big headliners in the league, Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell, I'm not sure there's another conference in the country that can give you a better 1-2 combination than those two guys. So, to me, that's going to be the fun thing about ACC football. It all starts at the top with your quarterbacks. That's why the potential for the league this year may be as good as we've seen it in the last couple of years. And I know Wes mentioned the fact that Deshaun Watson, you're going back Lamar Jackson, all that good stuff. But, man, I'll tell you, again, you take inventory of this league right now from a quarterback perspective, and it's in pretty good shape. Now, there's some other issues that we're going to have to get into as well, other than the quarterback deal. But, and again, if the topic of the day is quarterback play in this league, I kind of like where the league is heading into 2020. Again, we'll take your phone calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. And speaking of quarterbacks, I mentioned Trevor Lawrence will be with us tomorrow. And I briefly mentioned this to Wes before he disappeared on me again. But Clemson tomorrow is going to have a unity walk. And Trevor Lawrence is one of the four Clemson players that have put this thing together. We'll get into that more with him tomorrow along those lines and go from there. Wes, are you back or not? I don't know if you're there or not. Yes? No,
yes.
There he is. There you are. You doing all right? You having fun yet in Cartersville?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, we're on the high wire. You said it earlier. We're on the technological superhighway high wire, right?
Some are doing better than others in that department. While you disappeared off the face of the earth there for a minute, I just mentioned the quality of depth in the league, and we know about the two headliners at the top. But you kind of hinted around about Chase Bryce going to Duke, and given David Cutcliffe's ability to develop quarterbacks, I think the potential there for something great to happen is really good. This league has got really good depth in the quarterback department.
No question, and we still, you know, we're waiting to see kind of how it plays out at Virginia. Brendan Armstrong obviously is the guy with the most experience coming back behind Bryce Perkins, but you know, you mentioned, I think there are a couple guys that sometimes get lost in the conversation. One, you talk about Kenny Pickett. Mikhail Cunningham obviously had a breakout season for Scott Satterfield at Louisville, but I think it's going to be fascinating to watch James Blackman in Mike Norvell's offense. De'Aaron King at Miami. You know, if Grossell, or how does it play out with the Notre Dame transfer potentially being given the waiver at Boston College. I mean, all these different elements and dynamics are going to come into play here, Pac. And I think it just means that the position is going to be on that bigger stage, a more enhanced stage, if you will, as the 2020 season unfolds for sure.
You know, it's one thing to say, listen, we feel comfortable at quarterback, but what do you surround him with? And you mentioned Mikhail Cunningham at Louisville, and you look at the receiving core that's coming back for Satterfield's guys, I'm telling you, man, Cunningham could have a monster year, because 1 year into the system, listen, they impressed everybody last year how much they improved. You put Cunningham, who's back with experience, knows he's the guy, with those receivers, I'm telling you, man, that team could put up a ton of points. And there's a couple teams. You mentioned North Carolina. Of course, we know about Howell and all those guys, too. But there's a couple teams in this league have the potential of scoring a ton of points. And Louisville's certainly one of them.
Yeah. No question. I think Louisville and Carolina, certainly everybody knows how explosive Clemson is, right? But Louisville and Carolina are the two that, you know, right now you kind of look at and go, wait a second. And Virginia Tech had moments last year with Hendon Hooker at the controls. So, you know, we're going to see what happens here, but it's going to be fascinating to watch and exactly kind of how these teams come together. And that's why I mentioned the early schedule. Remember, you know, Syracuse, BC are going to play early. You've got scenarios playing out where, you know, you're going to get the marquee game, Clemson, Georgia Tech, and then certainly Clemson, Notre Dame later in the year. But then you think about Carolina, UCF, Carolina, Auburn, NC State, Mississippi State, you mentioned earlier. I mean, everybody's got one, Virginia Tech, Penn State. That's why we rally so much to college football. But I think it's going to be interesting, as I said in the first hour today, how momentum is obtained by these particular teams. And, you know, we mentioned it at the top tonight about the one player testing positive for the COVID virus during Florida State screening. And Brian Kelly's comments about how Notre Dame would handle that and how frenetic it might be if something happens on Wednesday and the kid can't get on the bus Friday to go to the ball game. What kind of factor is that going to be? And after hearing from Jay, I mean, it's not a matter of if, but when, right? And I think that's something we all got to be cognizant of as we get ready to move into now a more enhanced phase of preparation for the 2020 season here in the middle of the month and then certainly into July.
Wes, I don't think there's another league in the country that's got a better 1-2 combination of quarterback than the ACC. I think Trevor Lawrence, Sam Howell combo, you'd match that up with anybody else to say, listen, bring your two best to the party here and let's see where this goes.
Yeah, no question. No question. Trevor, to me, is a kid who's going to have the opportunity certainly to win all the national awards because I think Clemson's going to be that good. But, man, what a talent Sam Howell is, Pac. I mean, what a talent. The way he throws the football. And think about the guys he's got with him now. I mean, they bring back 10 starters on offense. And I know Mac Brown talked about depth on our primetime show last week. But holy smokes now. I mean, Carolina just kind of had an offensive explosion. And Phil Longo's offense, the way he talks about the installation of it and things like that is fascinating. And, boy, it was hand in glove with Sam Howell last year. And I'd be pretty excited if I were a Carolina fan. And not to mention the sidebar to all this, the offseason for them has been fairly productive from a recruiting standpoint. Now, I know that was, you know, the upcoming class that they've gotten commitments from. But how many of those guys they got last December and maybe added to in February can help them help them this fall, given kind of the talent level they've got? How much of the depth is going to be young guys who can help them on the offensive side? I think we'll find that out, too.
Well, don't take our word for it. When we talked to Mack Brown last week on the primetime show, he said, you know, by the end of the year, we got a pretty good football team. And this is the guy that's won a national championship and kind of knows what he's doing. He's been, he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. So I'll just take Mack Brown's word on it that, you know what, they were a good football team at the end of last season. And I think they will only get better, too. And, again, another year for Sam Howell with all those weapons around him. Get your popcorn ready because they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Carolina is going to be really, really interesting to see, especially with those two games up front, right? I mean, at Central Florida to start, and then Auburn and Atlanta before they go home to play James Madison, who is, you know, we talked about Kurt Cignetti's got a team that played for the national championship last year in FCS. So, fun conversation about quarterbacks, and we'll do that with a lot of different positions as we move through the offseason as well. But when we come back now, Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Tom Luganbill is here, kids. We're going to visit with Lugs about his quarantine confession yesterday and also the passion to play. He thinks it's one of the real key intangibles to success this fall based on the unique offseason.
Packer and Durham.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Good morning, Pack and Wes. Despite the bat wings growing out of the side of my head, my quarantine confession is that when I got bored watching film, I built a 7,000-piece bat out of Legos. Look at that. Huh? You like it? You like it?
From the Batmobile to the Winnebago, America's most interesting guest, Tom Luganbill. How are you?
How are you, guys? Everything good with you?
We've had a fun show today in the High Wire Act.
Hey, listen, if it's not perfect, you just make do and you figure it out.
That's exactly right. On the fly, that's exactly what we're doing. So where are you, by the way?
I am on the shores of Lake Kiawee with my family, right before football's allowed to get started back up for my son, and we're enjoying a three-day weekend here where it's bright and sunny and recharge the batteries a little bit.
Are we getting a look at the inside of the Luganbill family truckster here, by the way? Is that where you're broadcasting live from this morning?
I am. This is the class C. There's your kitchen right there. I'm waking up my daughter right now. She's sleeping above the cab over there. And there's the window. There she is. Say hi, Keaton. There we go. See, she's not happy with dad right now.
You know why she's not happy? Because you're wearing her hat. That's why.
I know. This is the lake lid.
Wow. I want to ask you a question here because I heard you on Roddy Jones's ACC AF podcast a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And when he asked you what you thought about the 2020 season and all the ways that spring got turned upside down and off-season conditioning and everything else, you mentioned we're going to find out who really loves the game Can you expand on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot easier for young people. You know, the college student athlete between 18 and 22, when they're around the building, they're in a regimented schedule. They know where they got to be, when they got to be there. They don't have a choice in it. So whether it's 5 a.m. workouts, whether it's study hall, whatever it may be, they seem to be a lot more productive when somebody's got their thumb on them. You know, you get everybody in the weight room at one time. You get everybody on the field for conditioning at one time. Now when you have all these guys going home and they're somewhere else and you don't have somebody keeping an eye on them and you're doing virtual workouts and you're sending them things like the old days, now you're going to find out who's been working, who loves the game. When nobody's looking over your shoulder, who's going to be the guy that does the same work, puts in the same effort, and gets better during this this time where you don't have that, whether authority figure, whether it's a coach or a strength coach or somebody, put you through the paces. And I think the players and the teams that come back and have as many of those guys as possible have a huge advantage entering into fall camp.
Tom, we just attempted to do a segment regarding ACC quarterbacks, and I mentioned the fact that the ACC's 1-2 combination of Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell, as good as anybody in the country, and the quality of depth in this league this particular year, even despite Anthony Brown being gone, Jamie Newman leaving from Wake Forest and BC respectively, the depth of the quarterback play in this league for the upcoming season is as good as we've seen in a couple of years. I mean, it's really got the potential of being out of sight.
And that's what gives the league a chance to regain a stranglehold in terms of being a strong conference top to bottom. Pac, you and I have talked about this. I mentioned this several years ago, that I really felt like the resurgence of the ACC happened because during a 2 to 3 year period, you had North Carolina, Clemson, Florida State, you had guys at Wake Forest, Louisville, you had quarterbacks that were prominent fixtures, big-time players, and it allowed for teams to build around that player. Listen, you got a quarterback, you got a chance. And then when you take a dip and you maybe miss on a quarterback and you have a downturn for 2 to 3 years, it can affect the entire conference. And I agree with you guys. I think we're on the uptick again at the quarterback spot. Even a guy like Sam Hartman, he's going to have a chance now to be the guy, even though Jamie Newman's departed. So I do think there's going to be, you know, are there questions? Yeah, there are questions at Virginia. Certainly. Are there going to be questions at Duke? What's Duke going to be? There's going to have to be some answers for some teams, but top to bottom, even Louisville right now, I mean, they're an exciting, dynamic team, and we're able to find a quarterback a year ago that going into the season, maybe they didn't know they had.
Hey, Luke, let's be honest though, because of the upheaval in the offseason and the upheaval of spring ball, a lot of intangibles are going to come into play. And I just mentioned one in relationship to Carolina, and I'll ask you to maybe give me a handful of guys who you think potentially could help in the ACC right away. How much of a premium now are kids that maybe came in January and got a feel of it before it all got shut down? And realistically, are there schools that can count on those type players coming in and helping them right away? And by the way, good morning, Tennille. Good to see you.
That was your wife. That was your wife, wasn't it?
As far as I know.
That was Tennille. Yeah. Are there programs that can count on a kid, like off the top of your head, who can say, okay, hey, we're going to plug this kid in and roll the dice with him right away, even though he's a true freshman?
That is a really, really good question. I don't know if this is one of those years in the conference. I think it's easy to say that with Derek King at Miami, and Miami was able to have a few spring practices to get a sense of it. I don't know if there was enough time. Here's what I do know. When you enroll in January and you have the opportunity to get entrenched in the strength and conditioning winter program, there are at least some teams that prior to the pandemic and prior to kids leaving campus and going home, there are some teams that got a sense of what type of work ethic their freshman class had, what type of people their freshman class were of those who enrolled early. Now, when I say that, does that mean that they're going to be a great player right away? No, but you have an indicator of whether or not they're ready to play, whether or not they're mature enough to take the field and help you as a true freshman. And without being on the field for spring football, I'm basing that solely on winter conditioning workouts. And trust me, you can tell an awful lot about the kid that comes on campus and isn't late for workouts, goes to class, isn't late for study hall, is where he's supposed to be, is killing it in the weight room. That's telling coaches right now we can depend on that kid to fill a need for us if we have to.
Now, Tom, I was just thinking, wouldn't it have been spectacular if that woman had actually walked into your Winnebago there and was in the wrong Winnebago? Wouldn't that have been just incredible television?
That or didn't have any clothes on.
All right. On a serious note, I do want to talk about recruiting because, as you well know, Wes and I have no earthly idea what's going on with recruiting. And I know you can't go through heavy names, and I know how all that stuff works, and it's still beyond early until somebody signs on the dotted line in December. But give me some teams that have gotten off to quick starts for the upcoming recruiting season.
I think Florida State's done a really, really nice job. Clemson, obviously, is way ahead of the curve. North Carolina is absolutely killing it, which, by the way, is kind of the norm when you get into that first full cycle as a coaching staff. So if you go back to Mack Brown being hired, you're scrambling and you're trying to come up with this class and get something in there. And then you get that full calendar year and your staff's together and you're starting to gel and you're generating chemistry. And you get to lay down and execute your blueprint. That, to me, is what North Carolina is doing right now. And it's, listen, you could see when he was hired what was going to happen. Put a fence around North Carolina, recruit outside of your borders, and make your program the program that in-state kids want to attend. I think Dave Dorn has done a good job of that as well. I also think Dave Clawson has done a good job, even though they've got different parameters. But the most important thing, you've heard me say this before, North Carolina is not an allegiance state for football. Kids don't come out of the womb and say, I am going to play football here. So that's allowed a lot of teams, Clemson, Alabama, Penn State, Maryland, Virginia Tech, to come into North Carolina and pluck some of its best players. What Mack Brown and their staff are doing right now is not allowing that to happen, which I think is a sign that the future is bright because there's a lot of good football players in the state of North Carolina.
Last question from me about this, Luges, is the new coordinators. And we had Dino Babers on earlier today talking about Starling Gilbert being at Syracuse, Rhett Lashley at Miami. Obviously, Kenny Dillingham is with Mike Norvell at Tallahassee. Which of those guys, and maybe there's somebody else you're thinking of, can have an immediate impact to success for those coaches? To me, the Gilbert and Dino Babers thing looks like it could be a huge payoff, and I am completely fascinated about Rhett Lashley and De'Eriq King, especially after they watched one another a little bit at SMU and Houston, I think.
I think the marriage between Rhett Lashley, the offensive scheme, and what they are going to be, and the skill set of De'Eriq King is perfect. That's the one coordinator hire that happened to coincide with a grad transfer where the scheme to talent fit is ideal. And so you're going to have a dynamic quarterback that now people are going to have to defend the run when they play Miami. Defend the quarterback run. Now think about Miami's athletes. They're going to be young around De'Eriq King, and they're going to have to come up with some new faces, but it changes everything when you've got to defend a quarterback run. And so you're going to have up-tempo, you're going to have fast pace, you're going to be a power running team because Rhett Lashley always wants to have that be the core of the offense, but now the quarterback changes things because you don't know on every snap where he's going to be. And to me, I think that's going to create some problems for people in the conference.
All right, before we let you run, well, obviously you're going to apologize to your daughter. Let her get some more sleep. So what's on the agenda there on the shores of Lake Kiwi moving forward? Because that is a beautiful part of the world.
Well, the beauty of our job, and particularly my job when it comes to recruiting, if I have high-speed internet and a cell phone, I can watch tape and I can do my job from just about anywhere. So we're going to watch a little bit of tape, and then I'm going to join Chris Spatola and the boys for ACC Today later today. And then I'm probably going to go out and ride some jet skis. I'm going to do some fishing with my daughter. I'm going to grill some lunch for everybody. And so this is some good dad and husband time for me.
By the way, speaking of fishing, I brought this up to Wes yesterday, and I know he's absolutely thumbed his nose at me. I told him, and I'm not even a big fisherman. But fly fishing to me is like the ultimate getaway where you can just eliminate phones and any electronic equipment, which based on today's show might be a really good idea, and just get out amongst nature and anything else and try to outsmart those fish. Have you ever done the fly fishing thing or not?
I have not, but I've watched people do it, and I get relaxed just watching them. I mean, it's so effortless how they're just throwing things out there. I think fishing is like watching paint dry, okay? So my daughter loves it. So we go out there, we do it together, and it's, you know, it's there. You can take, you like that? You like that, Wes?
But there's an art to it. It's like a golf swing. I keep telling Wes this. It's like the timing of a golf swing is the same thing in casting the fly. And that's why Wes would love it, even though he's absolutely giving me a pure attitude on this one.
And both look easy and are exceptionally difficult to do.
Right. Exactly right. Well, listen, you're living the life of a king. Good luck with the apology. Yeah. Once you get past the apology, I think you're going to be okay for the rest of the day.
Yeah, listen, you buy a little ice cream, everybody wins.
That's it. And when that lady walks back into your Winnebago who's not your wife, tell her we said hello.
I will. I'll give her your best.
Oh, man. Luke, it's great to see you, brother. Be well, okay? We'll see you soon.
You too, guys. I missed you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Oh, absolutely. One of our all-time favorites, the Blue Ostrich, Tom Luganville, with us on Packer and Durham. When we come back, we'll have a close. Don't forget Trevor Lawrence and Darian Rich are with us on the program tomorrow. But when we come back, how many Thin Mints do you think you could eat? Could you do 1,000 Thin Mints?
Forget that.
And Katie George's quarantine confession.
Yeah. Coveted invite.
Fine. We'll do that when Packer and Durham closes shop here in a moment on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the show. My thanks to Dino Babers, Jay Billis, and Tom Luganville at a camping world near you, Lake Kiawe. He's a beaut, man. All right, you teased the coveted invite. We're doing these confessionals. Mm. So, Wes Durham, with that said, let's see what's going on with coveted invite. Katie George.
Katie.
Hey, Packer and Durham, Katie George here. Hope you guys have been staying safe and sane during this quarantine. I am physically healthy, mentally somewhere kind of in between, but I have been told I need to share my quarantine confession with the two of you, which I don't know why I'm doing this, but basically, even with unlimited time during this quarantine, I cannot manage to keep a plant or flower alive. I have killed multiple tomato plants, an asparagus fern, which I was told needed no love and affection, and yet it died on me. I've killed a couple of orchids, and most recently, my father told me that I needed to get a new guinea impatiens, which I did. And he said it was easy to handle because basically it dies when it gets a lot of direct sunlight, which it has, but you can water it and bring it back to life time and time again, which I've been doing for the past 8 days. As you can see, it's not gone well. I don't know what to do, so if you have any advice or recommendations of what plants I should try to keep alive next, I am all ears. Quite honestly, I'm thinking about transitioning just to fake plants and flowers altogether. Hope you're well. Bye.
Coveted invite. I got three things immediately popped off my mind on that. Number one, cacti. Can't kill it. Number two, the pedicure looked great. And number three, anybody that has anything with Italy on the back on the wall is fine with me. So, again, the coveted invite. I never worry about the coveted invite. She's got it totally under control, despite the fact that she has no green thumb. But a cacti will eliminate all of that problem. You will never have to worry about it.
Right. Yeah. Very insightful, though, that she can't keep plants alive, right?
Well, I can relate to that because my wife, Amy, loves working in the yard, and the place looks like Augusta National in our backyard. I kill everything, too. I'm like, Katie, I can't keep anything alive. But I do know that if you buy cacti, you don't have to worry about watering them, and they're good. Yeah. They'll just sit there, and you know, you don't have to deal with it. So that's all I know. That's all I know.
By the way, we were going to talk about an issue that came up prior to the show. We're going to table that because we have some late-breaking news, Pac, we need to share. Not only is Trevor Lawrence and Darian Wrench going to join us tomorrow, I'd like for everybody to meet the 13th pick of the Major League Draft last night by the San Francisco Giants.
Well, again, I'm excited because we got ourselves another great young player from the ACC, going to become a future World Series champion. That's what we do in San Francisco. If you go to L.A., you'll never see one. 11,557 days since the Dodgers last won one. But the Giants, we won three last decade. Yeah, we're struggling. We're putting together a great team. I mentioned Joey Bart, former Georgia Tech star, got him in the mix. He's getting ready to load up. And now Patrick Bailey, come on down. I can't wait to get Patrick Bailey on the show. When we get him on the show, I've got a surprise for Patrick Bailey when he comes on our show. Just telling you that right now.
Mark Packer, a lifelong San Francisco Giants fan, replete with the official San Francisco Giants fitted hat, by the way.
No doubt.
Slid that on and now is been built into a graphic. Oh, my heavens. Round one, pick 13, Mark Packer. Holy cow, look at that. Put that on your social medias, Pack. You need a picture. Yeah, the hat backwards is my favorite.
That's a good look. And I tell you, it's going to be a good look tomorrow because Trevor Lawrence and company will be on board tomorrow. We look forward to that conversation.
Yeah. And Miami baseball coach Gino Demare will join us as well on T-Shirt Friday here in the summertime on Packer and Durham, by the way. So looking forward to that. Thanks to Drew Brooks and Josh Macri and Jen. Everybody did a great job today. And thanks to everybody in Transmission Pack for helping me along the way today.
Yeah, you still need some help down there in Cartersville. We're rocking it here in the basement, no issues. But you, my man, we got work to be done over there. Now, goodness gracious. But we're back tomorrow, 8 a.m. sharp, for another edition of
Packer
and Durham.
We're walking on the technological high wire.
That's what it is.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.